And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy.
That sounds about right, man. I would imagine you got to be drinking after your latest Dan Mullen Rocky Top video. It seems like all of Gator Twitter is united to rise arms against you.
Man, I've never received so much fan mail in my life, Mike. for people that don't know, I made a little video just kind of making fun. I mean, it's Gator Hate Week, and I made a video of Dan praising Rocky Top, saying he's going to be whistling, and kind of made a funny video out of it. Well, Mike was gracious to give me a retweet. Just unfortunately, it somehow landed to the who was a couple of those guys down there? They look like beat writers for Florida, right?
Yeah, one I believe for the Orlando Sentinel, and another one for 24/7 Sports. I've got for as much Tennessee followers as I have a lot of Florida followers too. They all love to bash me, so they all got a kick out of that video, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. When that thing hit, man, it's nonstop, and now. Now it's really starting to pick up steam here later in the evening now that they're settling in their mobile home. So,
Well, speaking of getting your panties in a twist, did you see this? What Brian Kelly kind of came out. This was later on Tuesday. We kind of missed it because we recorded earlier. But Brian Kelly took major issue with some of the Vanderbilt players and how they were blocking them. We're going to play this clip from Brian Kelly, and then we'll discuss it.
This is bad football, and I have no problem saying it. We're so concerned about, frontal cuts, and we got a defensive end, chopping him on every play, and he hung in there every play.
All right, Shane, so what's your thoughts on this? I mean, Brian Kelly admits this is a legal play, but he's still bitching that he doesn't like it. What were your thoughts when you first saw this?
Brian Kelly, just shut the hell up. That's what I was thinking. I mean, it's football. It's legal. I mean, if it was illegal, something they were doing, then, yeah, sure, bitch about it. You won the game, and now you want to complain about Vanderbilt. So, no, I have no time for this. And I was kind of glad that Mason fired back at him.
Yeah, so during Wednesday's SEC coaches teleconference, he was asked specifically about Brian Kelly's comments, and so here's Derek Mason kind of clapping back at the Notre Dame coach.
I mean, nowadays when we talk about, playing football, I really don't care much about Brian Kelly's comments about football, because when you go back and watch that game from the holding to the post chops by Notre Dame, I thought it was bad football on their part. Okay, but what it comes down to is that the game gets played on the football field. Nowadays, we're asking defensive players to raise the target, lower the target, hit with their eyes up. I mean, all these things are really a part of football. So with Brian Kelly can take his comments and keep it moving. If he's got something personal with me, man, he can come see me.
So, Shane, I thought Derek Mason, kind of like you said, I think he handled this the right way. I mean, what else is he going to say? This is a clean play. And he, said there was more issues with what Notre Dame was doing in that game than anything. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I wish we had the unedited version, because Mason would have sent him up the creek in his work shirt there. So, no, I mean, it's football, man. He left it out on the field. That's where the game's played. And he talks about it with South Carolina coming up. It's going to be a dogfight. So these guys, they're not holding anything back, and they're giving everything they have. So I kind of like this nasty side of Vandy.
Yeah, I think that's what they need because, you know, they're always looked down on as nerds, and now they're led by a coach that's just tough-minded, defensive guy. He's making this defense. It just seems like they get better every year, and they got one guy after another goes to the NFL and does pretty well there. So they seem to really have one side of the ball rolling, and early in the season, it looks like it's going to turn them into, you know, a dark horse in the East. You know, they haven't played an SEC game yet, so it could come tumbling down like it did last year. But this game against South Carolina is going to tell us a lot about both teams, I think.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think it's going to be a good one. What time does this thing kick off?
Yeah, so South Carolina travels to Vanderbilt. It's going to be at 4 o'clock Eastern time on SEC Network.
Okay, so I think, man, they got a lot of good games later in the day, so I'm excited about that one. Probably won't get to finish it because of Tennessee, but it should be. I hope that it is a dogfight. I don't know, man. I mean, Muschamp's been thinking about this one for 2 weeks, so I don't know what he's going to put out there.
All right, staying in the SEC East, I wanted to talk about this with you, Shane. I don't know what are your thoughts on this guy, but old Jordan Rogers, he's not necessarily my favorite, but he is a SEC analyst, so that's kind of why we're mentioning him here. He had some recent comments. He ranked all the SEC quarterbacks after 3 weeks, and he put Jake Fromm kind of near the bottom of his list. And that's not necessarily exactly what I wanted to talk about, but he did say that in his opinion, Jake Fromm is no NFL prospect, and if he's lucky, he's going to be undrafted free agent when his eligibility is up at Georgia. What are your thoughts on that comment?
Dude, I don't know, man. I mean, think about it. The NFL's got 32 starting quarterbacks, and you've got to figure at least half of them are secure for a while. So you're talking a handful of people coming out in this class because they're still studs sitting there at the second spot in the third team and just waiting for their opportunity. So is Fromm the – let me ask you this. If you were ranking Fromm, where would you have him as far as SEC quarterbacks right now? Just this year, just what you've seen.
Yeah, that's a tough one because they've not really asked him to do a lot. You know, they're not putting – you know, the game in his hands necessarily. It's more about defense and running game. And I mean, he is throwing the ball, but it's basically get the ball in the hands of the perimeter and just let those guys do their thing.
Yeah.
But I still would put him near the top of my list. I think Tua, Drew Locke, and then I would probably go either Nick Fitzgerald or Jake Fromm up there at number three.
Yeah. I would have Locke first right now just because I think Tua hasn't done much. Mm-hmm. I'd probably have, honestly, Mond and Fitz switched around and then Fromm and Shermer. Just because, like you said, Fromm just hasn't had to do it yet, but it doesn't mean he can't. I mean, he is a stud quarterback, and you know, he probably is going to lead this team to a undefeated – in my opinion, undefeated run in the SEC until he gets to the championship game, and then we'll go from there. But I think he is a good quarterback, but he does have a lot of talent around him. Does that make him better? I mean, if you put Terry Wilson on that, if you put Terry Wilson on that team, does he do better with all that talent around him? You know what I'm saying? Or if you put Locke on Georgia's team, is this even a question? Is Drew Locke just the best quarterback ever? So I don't know. I don't want to read too much into it. I mean, because it is still early in this season. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is he's saying that he's not going to make it in the NFL. Well, how many quarterbacks actually do make it in the NFL out of the SEC, you know?
Right, yeah, not a ton. But in my opinion, this is a little bit of a case of people picking on a guy like Jake Fromm that they've seen, they've studied, and maybe he's not – wowed them with his arm talent.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, this guy, he's probably like 19 years old. He's a true sophomore. What is he? He's lost two games in his career.
Now, yeah,
you know, that's not all him. There's a great team around him. But I think they're putting a little – and like you said, Tua, you know, we just automatically shoot him up to the list because he's played, what, three games?
Right.
You know, give him 15 more like we have Fromm and see if he's still there. You know, exactly. Drew Locke, we've seen him three years and three games now. So some of these guys, Nick Fitzgerald, we've seen him on the field for 3 years now. So a lot of these guys have a resume that's been out there. And Fromm, I don't think, you know, if like you said, if Fromm goes undefeated, what if he has a big SEC championship game? What if he has a big playoff and they win it all? You're going to tell me you're putting him behind Kyle Shurmur? Like, give me a break, you know?
Right. No, I'm with you. And, you know, too, I talked about Mon and Fitzgerald. You know, you kind of made a comment. They are flashy. And maybe that's why, in my mind, I think they're a better quarterback right now. But, you know, Fromm has done nothing wrong. Fromm has done everything right this season. So when it boils down to it, what do you want? Do you want a flashy player, or do you want somebody that's going to get the victory for you? And right now, Fromm's doing that. So, yeah, maybe I'm a little low on Fromm.
Yeah, and I think even in the NFL, they would prefer the steady guy as opposed to the flashy. Now, you know, when you say flashy, I think of like Michael Vick and how electric he was in the NFL. He did have a highlight, but obviously he had his lows. And, you know, looking back, San Diego Chargers, well, they traded for Vick once they drafted him. But, you know, you're telling me, let's say they stuck with Drew Brees his entire career. Would they rather have had a steady hand Drew Brees, or would they rather have the highs and lows of Michael Vick? I mean, that's an obvious answer. And I think the same can be said for maybe like a Cam Newton, who I know he's a polarizing figure, but he certainly, you know, he's been MVP of the league, taking his team to a Super Bowl game, but he's also had his lows. You know, would you rather have that guy, or would you rather have, you know, like I said, a Drew Brees, who I think Jake Fromm reminds me of? I think 9 out of 10 NFL teams are going to take the steady hand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a different animal in the NFL. You think defense is coming at you right now in the SEC. When you get up there, I mean, you got to think real quick. They disguise schemes. It's the next level for a reason. So do they have that? Can they identify the defense and make adjustments and throw it to their right? I mean, you're talking a little box you got to throw it into. So just out of this list here, all the way, any other names stand out? I thought Burrow at 12 was kind of wild. I mean, he had him. I had Garantano, Terry Wilson, and Stenham over him. So what do you think about that?
Well, I just don't think we've seen enough about Burrow, so I kind of understand why he's all the way down there. Now, I do think Terry Wilson at 9 is kind of ridiculous, because basically what we saw was he made two good throws on a national stage against Florida. And he did have some incredible runs, but, like, let's go back the week before when he played Central Michigan and had three interceptions. Like, are we just forgetting that? Because I don't think Jordan Rodgers probably watched that. That's why he's got Wilson at number 9. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Whereas you look at Jordan Te'amu, I think he dropped him 7 spots because he got his ass kicked by Alabama. Well, guess what? Every player on this list has basically gotten their ass kicked by Alabama. So I don't think you grade Te'amu on that one. How about you grade his everything we've seen from him? And, you know, he's an outstanding player. So I think that's kind of another screw-up by him.
Yeah, it's still way too early to be doing this, but it's fun to talk about.
All right, Shane, so another thing that's kind of ridiculous we wanted to bring up, your boy Lou Holtz, he's picking his son Skip to take his Louisiana Tech team into Baton Rouge and win an outright upset.
Go Tigers.
Louisiana Tech's a 21.5-point underdog. What is Dr. Lou smoking here?
What he's doing is... I'm sorry, I can't do it. No, this is just family love right here. That's all that is, just pumping up the boy.
I was doing some research on Louisiana Tech. They're undefeated. They're 2-0. They're coming off a bye. For some reason, they had a bye week already. And Skip Holtz, you know, he has a very decent Louisiana Tech squad there. They almost beat South Carolina last year. It was a 17-16 game in Columbia. So I'm going to pull a shocker here and tell you that LSU is going to beat them. but I do think this is an underrated team. So, it is ridiculous. Obviously, his son's the coach. That's why he's saying this bullshit. But I would not be surprised if Louisiana Tech plays with LSU for a little while, with LSU coming off that big win at Auburn.
No, I agree. And I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I don't think it's going to be near as exciting as that Auburn game. So this is going to be a ground and pound, run the clock out. And, yeah, who faults Lou Holtz? I mean, deep down inside, I like Lou Holtz. I don't mind him. Pulling for his son, I can admire that too. I mean, what father wouldn't, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, sticking in the SEC West, Shane, Alabama, Nick Saban met with the media on Wednesday.
Roll Tide!
And I thought this was just kind of interesting. He was asked about the carries, the distribution of the ball there in Tuscaloosa between all his talented running backs. And a lot of those guys have taken a back seat so far to Tua and the receivers and everything that's going on there. And, you know, I don't think that's the way Nick Saban ideally wants to run his team. We'll see if that changes, you know, now that they're facing a, you know, stout SEC defense this week. But just wanted to play these comments here from Saban on his running backs, and then we can discuss it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, we feel like we have three really good players. We want them all to contribute. And I know that each one of those guys has contributed in a very positive way, and I'm sure that they all wish that they could have a few more carries. But I'm sure as the season wears on, they'll get plenty of football and plenty of opportunities. And I think what every player on our team needs to focus on is improving, not necessarily your status or how many yards you gained or how many carries you got, but what kind of player am I when I play? You know, do I play well? Because basically that's what you're going to get evaluated on. And you need to be a complete player. That means you need to not only just carry the ball, but you need to block. You need to pass protect. You need to be a good pass receiver. There's a lot of things that make you a complete player that we feel fortunate with the guys that we have and the job that they do. But that's what they all need to stay focused on.
All right, Shane, so Nick Saban's laying down the law. You know, you want to talk about NFL prospects. He's probably got several here in this backfield, and most of them are not even getting that many touches at this point. What were your thoughts on his comments here on his running backs?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if this was a call out or because obviously he's got three hungry running backs back there, and they could all be the starter for the University of Alabama, and that's kind of what he's doing. He's rotating these guys in. But it's all facets. It's not just running the ball. It's not just getting a touchdown. It's blocking. It's, like he said, it's catching the ball out of the backfield. It's everything. And coaches like that. He doesn't want a me player. He wants a we player. So I think that's what he's kind of doing. Just who's going to step up? Who's going to be the team player and be ready when their number's called? And not to mention, if you got three like that and you're kind of creating that buzz, then every time that they do have the opportunity to run the ball, wouldn't you run harder so that you could get more carry? So if he does his hot hand approach, maybe you stay in there longer. So it's just a smart coach tactic. That's all this is.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because a guy like Damian Harris, you know, he came back for his senior year. He wanted to win another title. I thought he was going to go pro, but he came back. And I think in this last game, he only had like four carries, I think. Now, obviously, they didn't really need him that much, but so he is kind of finding a creative way here to save some of his better running backs toward, you know, the grind of the schedule. I don't imagine they're going to be able to throw the ball like this against LSU and Mississippi State. I think they're going to have to play some ground and pound. So I just thought this was interesting. You know, even guys that are, you know, for sure going to go in the NFL, even they have to kind of fall in line down in Nick Saban's program there, and I think that's obviously a big reason why they're winning every damn game by 50 points.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, Alabama's got some tougher games coming in, and one of the comments that kind of stood out to me in this conference was him talking about that tight end, Irv Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a name a lot of people haven't heard of lately, but you know, he really kind of pepped up when he's talking about him being a weapon, and a lot of times the defense will lose track of him. So don't be surprised if one of these games that get a little bit tight, we see a little less of Judy in the running backs and we see a little bit more of Irv Smith out there.
All right, Shane, jumping to Knoxville. Jeremy Pruitt met with the media on Wednesday as well following practice. And, you know, the same as always, he doesn't really give a whole lot away, but he did note that the practices were much better this week, which – you know, if he's being honest, and it seems like every time, you know, he said something, it is him being genuine. You know, that figures to say that Tennessee's going to be a lot better against Florida. I mean, I think they obviously have to be if they're going to come away with a win. But the thing that I noted that I thought was most interesting, he was asked about freshman cornerback Alante Taylor, who started against West Virginia. He didn't play particularly well, and he hasn't really been seen since. And since that time, Bryce Thompson, the other freshman cornerback, you know, he had an outstanding Week 2 performance. He was named SEC Freshman of the Week last week, as the third week of the season. Pro Football Focus rated Thompson as the number 2 rated cornerback in the entire SEC, which is pretty incredible considering he came in as a receiver just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
But so Pruitt was just asked, why has Taylor not been on the lineup? What exactly is going on there? And here's his comments on that.
Well, you know, Alante was the best guy in practice when we played West Virginia, and then the last 2 weeks he wasn't. So it's no different in any other position. I think we probably started different guys at other spots, so it's not that big a deal. I mean, he's a freshman. He started the first game as a freshman. That's a pretty big deal. You got to continue to work, and he will, and he has.
All right, Shane, so this kind of continues the theme that Pruitt has had since his time at Tennessee, you know, and it sounds simple, but I think in the past this is not the way the Tennessee program has been run, but if you don't practice, if you don't prepare properly, you're just not going to see the field for Jeremy Pruitt.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, how many times the last few years have you watched a team like Tennessee and they keep a linebacker in there, they keep a running back in there just because of his name, just because of his recruiting status? If you don't have it, you don't have it. And that's the thing I like about Pruitt. I think Pruitt sit his ass because he's not practicing it hard. He's told all offseason, man, we got a stud freshman, and he's probably reading that news and thinking he's got it made. And it sounds to me like Pruitt said, no, if you ain't going to put the work in, you ain't going to play. So one thing that Pruitt did mention that he did see a lot of urgency in practice this week. So that does sound positive, because last week he was really disappointed with the practice.
Yeah, and he let the players know, well, he let the media know, the players through the media, I think, that, you know, practice was not acceptable last week. And we certainly saw that on the field. It was 10-0 against arguably the worst team in major college football. And like I said, they're going to need a much better performance if they're going to even stand a chance against Florida. And I don't even think Florida's that good, but they just can't play down if they're going to win in the SEC. Not this roster.
No, absolutely not.
All right, Shane, jump into the Auburn-Arkansas game this week.
War damn Eagle.
You know, not a lot of buzz around this game for obvious reasons. Arkansas is coming off an ass-whooping from North Texas, but we do have a couple notes for that game, and I wanted to start off with Jarrett Stidham, the Auburn starting quarterback. And, you know, I didn't realize this connection until I wrote this story this morning, but, you know, Chad Morris used to coach at Stephenville High School there in Texas. He's a renowned Texas high school coach, and that's where Jarrett Stidham played high school. Now, he didn't play for Chad Morris, but he was well aware of Chad Morris growing up. So when Chad Morris, after he left, that's when Jarrett Stidham started for that school and became a five-star prospect. But I just wanted to play these thoughts on from Jarrett Stidham on just how high he is on Arkansas's coach.
I know Coach Morris really, really well. Grew up going to school with his. I think his daughter was in my grade, so I know her. And then Chandler, you know, much younger than me, but. It's funny, whenever they were moving from Stephenville, I think, to Lake Travis, my parents actually looked at buying their house. So I've known him forever. You know, I was a big fan of him, obviously, whenever he was the head coach there in Stephenville, and have kept up with him ever since. So I'm a huge fan of Coach Morris. I mean, there's a lot. I'm a huge fan of him. I think he's got a great personality. I think he's definitely a player's coach. You know, I mean, and everywhere he's been super successful. I mean, all the way back to, you know, Stephenville, Lake Travis, the list kind of goes on. But he's been very successful, you know, everywhere he's been. So, you know, looking forward to kind of seeing how his year, you know, here at Arkansas goes.
All right, Shane, so Stidham is a believer in Chad Morris. Does this give you any kind of confidence that that this guy's going to get the ship, you know, turned in the right direction there in Fayetteville?
I don't know, man. It's been a rocky start. Everything you ever hear from the coaches that talk about Morrison, I mean, you hear this from talking about just different coaches in general, but I think the most sincere is the attitude that a lot of coaches have toward him. And I don't know if it's maybe because a lot of these guys were recruiting in that area and maybe established a relationship with him earlier in Texas. So maybe that's why. But I don't know. Everything I've heard about him coming in is he is the right guy for the job. He got dealt a really rough hand. And if the fans stick in there and don't hang him out to dry just yet, I think he can turn this program around.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because it kind of does look a little bit like he's in over his head at this point. And I don't think that – obviously it is kind of the roster, and they don't have – they clearly don't have a quarterback to run his system. And, they're not going to come out and say that, but that's certainly the case after 3 weeks. But he's also made a number of questionable decisions in coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I think he kind of cost them that Colorado State game. I think the fact that they were unwilling to kind of adjust from Cole Kelly just and his god-awful game there against North Texas, that's an issue. But it does strike me that these people from his past, they all speak so highly of him and what he can do and how successful he's always been. And, he's even adjusted his offense a little bit during – he mentioned I just noticed this week he did mention, at one point he was kind of struggling there in high school, and that's when he went to Gus Malzahn and learned his system, and then that's when his success really took off. So he is willing to adapt somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
But just, this is obviously a rough start. It seems like none of the players there are buying into what he's selling, but maybe once he gets his guys in there, it'll be a different story. But I think this has got to give Arkansas fans at least some hope that Auburn's got nothing to gain from saying that that Chad Morris is a good coach, but you got their starting quarterback and Gus Malzahn, who always sings Chad Morris's praises. They're just very high on the guy that's in their division now.
Yeah, even the athletic director came out this week and urged fans not to panic about the team and their start. So, and offer support for the coach. There is a lot of support. Here, this is the deal. There's a lot of support for who matters. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, there's going to be upset fans, but upset fans typically don't hire and fire a coach unless you're at the University of Tennessee, okay? But they're up there. The ones that do matter, the athletic director, the boosters, they know kind of what situation they're in. Are they upset that they dropped two games that they shouldn't have? Absolutely. Are they upset that they're probably not going to make a bowl game? Who wouldn't be? So – but just to hang him for 1-2 start with a team he didn't even build is just crazy. I mean, you can't be that upset. I mean, it's just the first year, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and they're going to be 1-3 on Saturday, just so you know, Shane.
For sure, man. It's gonna be a rough season, man. We may have seen their only victory this year.
Speaking of Arkansas, Chad Morris, he met briefly with the media after practice on Wednesday. He announced defensive backs Chevin Callaway and Brito Toot. They're both going to be out against Auburn. Now, Toot is a true freshman. I don't think that's much of an impact player, but Callaway, he was a very coveted recruit. He's not been playing particularly well this year, but he is a major player in that defensive backfield. Just the fact that Arkansas is now down another two defensive backs going up against Jarrett Stidham and that Auburn offense it's just more trouble here for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, I mean, it does really hurt that Callaway and Toot, is that how you say his name's out? But the good thing is that I don't know if this is confirmed or not, but they were expecting to have Kevin Richardson and that linebacker, Dre Greenlaw, back for the Auburn game. So, I mean, obviously it's not going to make up for the entire defensive back situation, but it does help that they get a little more depth on that side of the ball.
Yeah, Dre Greenlaw is one of their better players. Now, he's kind of been nicked up the past couple years, but prior to that, I mean, he was outstanding. So I think they need guys like that. They need Richardson to step up. They just really need their guys to show some pride here, particularly coming into SEC play. Now, like we kind of are laughing at the Razorbacks, but, the truth of the matter is they've not even played a conference game. So, obviously they're not expected to make much noise in the league play, but they're tied with just about everyone else that's not played an SEC game. So they still have a lot to play for, and there's a lot of rivals they have in the conference that they love nothing more than to ruin their season by taking them down.
Hell yeah.
And speaking, one last note on this game, Auburn senior tight end Jalen Harris announced he's going to transfer out on Wednesday. And this is interesting because, you know, Auburn doesn't use the tight end that often. I believe he's only had two catches in the last two seasons, but he's listed as a starter. And I don't know how important that is because, like I said, Auburn doesn't really use them. They use them as more blockers, but it's just interesting timing from a senior who announced he's going to shut it down and redshirt this year and transfer out as a graduate. And, you know, he's yet to say where he'll go to school, but just interesting timing and tough for Auburn to lose some depth at a position like tight end after a couple weeks into the season.
Yeah. I mean, he's a big guy. He's a big blocker. And I think maybe that's the problem. They've had a lot of trouble with that offensive line and the fact that they've probably had to keep him in most of the time. He's not getting the opportunity to catch balls. And I mean, it's his senior year. He wants to, make a run at something there, but who do you think is going to take his place there?
Like I said, they don't really even use the tight end, so I don't know. They of course have Cox, the H-back, so I think he'll kind of fit a lot of what they're trying to do there. But, you know, I would imagine it's got to be tough for Auburn to even recruit a tight end if they never throw to one, kind of like Texas A&M under Sumlin. They never use the damn tight ends, and now that they got Jimbo Fisher, you know, obviously they got Sternberger in there, and now he looks like a damn All-American, All-Conference player, so... Sometimes I think these coaches do a poor job of utilizing these positions, and I think that just makes things tougher on them.
Yeah, I agree with you, man.
All right, so the last matchup we wanted to discuss on today's episode, you know, is obviously a big one, Mississippi State at Kentucky. Nick Fitzgerald recently met with the media, and he was just asked his thoughts on facing the Kentucky defense, who, you know, is looking like a new unit this year, but Mississippi State whooped up on them last year 45-7. So he was just kind of asked in the new offense how they're going to adjust to facing Kentucky, who's returning a lot of starters, the same defensive coordinator. So here's Mississippi State's senior quarterback on the trip to Kentucky.
I have a lot of different looks. You know, they run a lot of different looks, but they always seem to, you know, have six, seven dudes in the box. Make sure that, you know, you're going to have to throw the ball on them if you want to move the ball. They're going to give you man-to-man coverage and say beat us. Whenever you can get them spread out, you're going to take advantage of that.
You had some success with the air against them last year. You know, what similarities did you see with their defense from last year?
It's the same defensive coordinator. Eight returning starters from last year. They're running the same schemes. Obviously, we have a different offense, so we're going to get different looks, and they're going to have a different game plan for us, but it's the same guys, and you know, it's kind of the, overall the same scheme.
All right, Shane, so Mississippi State, obviously a new offense under Joe Moorhead. Do you think they'll have any issues at all facing this Kentucky defense?
He made the comment it's the same guys. So, I don't know. Nick came out a little cocky on this deal, and of course, you know, that's who he is. Mm-hmm. He's a bold quarterback, and he just kind of put Kentucky down. And you know, this is something that we've been talking about here for last couple of weeks about Kentucky. You know, a lot of people overlooking them. So I hope that's not what's going on here, because Kentucky's defense is better than they were last year. And you know, he made a comment they're going to move around some schemes and stuff, but it's pretty much the same as last year. And last year they kicked their ass. So I don't think he's really worried at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I kind of get that same vibe, but you know, the more I think about it, I think this is somewhat of a, I don't know if a concern is the right word, but you know, this kind of goes back to what we touched on, I believe it was on the previous podcast, about Mississippi State never being tested at this point in the season. They're going on the road. Now, they did go on the road to Kansas State, but I don't think that Kansas State team was worth anything, and they just dominated them. And that's not to say that that's not going to happen here against Kentucky, but if they do get into a fight, you know, they've never, like, you know, they've never been tested under this staff.
Mm-hmm.
How do they react to the new coaches, what they're asking them to do, if maybe in the fourth quarter? Are all the players truly bought in on what they're trying to do on offense and defense? You know, a bust here, a missed assignment here. Does that all go out the window? And I mean, I don't know, and I don't think we'll have those answers until we see it. So you can have all the confidence in the world that you're just going to kick someone's ass going into a game, but you know, you get punched in the mouth and you get down early. I mean, I think this could be an issue for Mississippi State in this game.
Yeah, I do too, man. I think we kind of talked about this maybe being a trap game, and and I don't know, man. Your quarterback's just kind of saying, "Hey, nothing's changed. It's the same team as last year. We're just going to go up there and do it." And you know, you got Benny on the other side talking about how big this game is. They got a chip on their shoulder. Emotions play. You know, they play in a football game, and if you come in, if you're, you know, kind of like Coach was talking about last week, Coach Pruitt, if you don't put, and I hate to keep going back to Tennessee, but here we are. He talks about, you know, if you don't put in the practice, if you're not giving 110%, it shows on game day. So Kentucky's doing, I guarantee they're busting their ass this week in practice getting ready for Mississippi State. Is Mississippi State doing the same, or are they just going through the motions because they finally got a team like Kentucky to go against, you know? So, and maybe they're looking ahead. Who does Mississippi State got after Kentucky?
Florida. They welcome back Dan Mullen.
Oh, yeah. So maybe that's what – I mean, I'm not saying that's what they're doing. I'm not saying that they're not giving an effort in practice. I think Coach is doing what he can to keep these boys grounded. But crazier things have happened. So crazier things have happened this year. Just talking about Kentucky, it happened last week. So or the week before last. So this.
Now, one more thing on this game, Shane. I did not share this information with you prior because I wanted to get your live reaction recorded on the podcast. But your boy, Cash Daniel, the Kentucky linebacker, he's from a place called Paintsville, Kentucky, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kentucky has yet to sell out tickets for this game. And it's, obviously a big game. I think this is the biggest home game they've had in probably a damn decade. But they've yet to sell out tickets. So they're headed to Paintsville for Cash Daniel's hometown. They're going to Walmart parking lot. They're selling tickets to the game for $10, $20 limit, people can only buy 20 tickets per person. Thoughts on Kentucky heading to Walmart selling tickets in the parking lot there?
That's awesome, man. I mean, that's awesome. Why was that not the leading thing we talked about?
Shouldn't they be doing this at damn Kroger? I mean, it's a Kroger Field.
I would think, you know, Kroger would be a good place to do it. So I don't know. It's kind of sad that they got to sell tickets like that, though, because you finally got a good team. You just beat the University of Florida. You know, you're undefeated. I can't believe they're having a trouble. I mean, I don't know how many fans they hold there. What, 60,000, 70,000, something like that?
Yeah, I think it's right around 70,000.
I mean, if you can't fill that up, being undefeated, going against a top, you know, 10 team, or what is Mississippi State?
I know right now I think they're like 13th, but they should be 8 or 9 in my opinion.
It's a 7 o'clock game, right? It's at night.
Yes.
I mean, good God, how can you not be selling tickets right now?
Well, because all those fans are at Walmart apparently.
Well, I hope it's packed, man. And you know what? If they do get some people out of Walmart for $10, I bet that's the loudest fans you'd want. I mean, that's the fans you need in that stadium. So good for them, man. I hope it's loud and rowdy, brother.
All right, Shane, that's all we got for the news front. You got anything before we jump out of here?
Yeah, buddy. I got a couple things. Actually, before we do this, I want to bring something up. Just a couple of mentions I have here.
Well, take your time, Shane.
Well, I wasn't prepared for it, but I'm bringing it out here because Florida got all riled up. So I just want to let's see here.
You're not going to read the Dr. Jack Goff's
quote? No. I'm not going to do that. These are just some Gator hating quotes I got today, and directed at me in my wonderful video I put out there. Vols beat us one time in some of our darkest days, and as a program, they continue to talk trash. LOL. Sad, really. Ooh, that was a good one. This one here, probably my favorite. He says, just curious, can you spell Tennessee? And he spelled the fucking word. So, yes, I can spell it. And when I called him out on it, he says, you probably can't read it either, just trying to help. So, Gator fans are out. Gator fans are attacking. Hey, I love the Vols. Oh, that's a good one. Some of these I can't read. So, but anyway, it's fun. It's hate week, rivalry week, and I love it. So, but more importantly, I love the fans. I love people that take the time to listen to this show. And Mike, I screenshot those reviews, and my phone just died because I was looking at Gator comments. By any chance, can you get on iTunes there and read our last two reviews?
Sure thing, Shane. And this is what it's like when someone shows up and knows what the hell they're doing, because I got it right here. So we got a new 5-star heart on iTunes. We really appreciate it. And this is from Little Vol Girl via Apple Podcasts. She said she gave us five-star hearts. I love listening to these two. I don't know too much about all the teams in the SEC other than my Vols, so it's nice to get a quick rundown daily on what's going on around the league. Really fun host. Are at A+ as well. Keep up the great work. So we appreciate you, Little Vol Girl.
And all right.
We got another one that we missed. We apologize here to Huey98, who gave us this one a little while back, but we're just now getting to it. He gave us a 5-star heart and said, love the show today and always. Mike, I hope you're wrong about South Carolina versus Georgia score. If you are, I will let you know, Hugh. So, Hugh, thank you very much. And, again, sorry that we did not notice this review until now, but we definitely wanted to give you a shout-out here on the podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody taking their time, we really do appreciate it. The Reddit page, man, we got a lot of activity on the Reddit page today. I like the bantering. Every day we're going to put in maybe like a mailbag question type deal. So I just love it. I love getting the feel of the league, you know, because I'm a Vol fan and have been my whole life. But it's nice seeing where you guys are coming from. When we talked about those games, if we could change anything, our boy TH got on there and started talking about the Hail Mary, everything from the 2012 SEC championship game. Mm-hmm. Georgia would love to have that one back, and of course the Tua touchdown. So I don't know. It's a great platform. We'd love to have you on it. If you get on the Reddit app and you search that SEC podcast, you'll find us there. And of course, you know, Twitter's active, boys and girls. So if you got any questions, don't hesitate to shoot them at us.
Yeah, and if you made it this far, please give us a 5-star heart on iTunes. That really helps us out. And that's all I got today. Thank everyone for joining us. And thank you, Shane, as always, for joining me on the show.
Yeah, buddy. Go Vols. Ready. Yeah, edit that one. They're not all winners, Mike.